Good morning. I am so sorry to interrupt your conversations. I really am. I they're way better and more important than whatever I'm about to say. But it is always a pleasure to be able to worship with you. My name is Michael Gallup, and I am starting the Table, which is a 1001 new worshiping community. One of the 1001 new worshiping communities that is nested here at Westover Hills. So it's I'm filling in for Robert while he's off on study break. I am, like I said, just grateful to be amongst you to worship the Lord. I want to bring attention to your brains that in the whatever part of you that thinks in your bulletin. There is a Life of the Church, a series of announcements, things that are happening. This week, Midweek Manna, I'm also filling in for Robert. So if you listen to me this morning and think, I just can't get enough of that, you can show up on Wednesday during lunchtime downstairs, and we're going to be continuing our discussion on the parables of Jesus in Luke. There's several other things happening, obviously, and then something that caught my attention I was looking through this morning was the alternative Christmas market that's coming up on November 11th. That sounds really great. So, yeah, lots of amazing things happening here at Westover Hills. Lots of opportunities to connect with one another. So, this morning, we remember our baptism. As I pour this water into this font, we recall that we belong here. Not because we have something to prove, our worth, that we have earned our place, but simply because we are loved. We belong because God has loved us from the very beginning and for all eternity. So with that in mind this morning, let us worship the Lord.
Good morning. A little programming note on the second, or actually, I guess the third page of your bulletin, our song of praise will be, it's on page 455, not 453, just FYI. So, please stand in body or spirit and for our call to worship. How precious, how fragile, how short is life. The divine brings us into being and ushers us into eternal rest. Blessed are the sacred rhythms of life, and holy are these tasks. When the way is difficult and dangerous,
let us choose what is good and just.
When evil comes to break us down and break us apart,
let us still choose to carry on with each other.
When power strikes fear into our hearts,
let us still choose courage to resist.
For we know the love and power of God, which abides in us, will not be overcome. Let us pray. Christ Jesus, we come into your presence from many different places. We come with songs of joy and shouts of gratitude. We come carrying heavy burdens and sighs of suffering. As you welcome us into your house, lift our burdens and receive our praise. Salt us with your grace and favor us with your mercy. Bind us together that we may be at peace with one another and be strengthened to go forth in service to the world. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Brothers, sisters, and siblings, nothing we can say or do can ever separate us from God's mercy and love. The gifts of God are eternal and will never be withdrawn. God's ultimate desire and purpose is not to punish, but to forgive. So together we may pray with hope, not fear. Let us pray together. God of justice, God of compassion, God of sacred and scandalous ways, by your grace, we have come to know love more deeply. Through fires and that refine and valleys of death, you have guided us. Saving us from the lies of destruction. But still, O God, we struggle to trust in you. And so when we are afraid or hurt or weary, we betray the very one who brought us thus far. Search our hearts, O God, and see if there is any fear within us. Forgive us from the harm we have done as we seek to harm no more.
Beloveds, God does not abandon us to the systems that destroy. God does not bind us to our regrets or forever hold us to what we once believed. Love abounds and justice shall be manifest. Thanks be to God who leads us on paths of resurrection. For in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which passes all understanding, be with you all. seated. Holy Wisdom, we ask that Your Spirit would guide us in meditation on Your Word, that we might be more move more deeply into knowledge of You and love for all Your creatures and creations. Amen. Our reading this morning comes from the Old Testament and the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the names of the two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraimites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These two took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." And she kissed them, and they wept aloud. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. And even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have had a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters. It has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." And then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and Ruth clung to her. And so she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me grab a tissue. It may not be evident why I'm crying, but we'll get to it here shortly. But as a way of introduction to our text this morning and into our hearts, I want to ask you, and let's do some dialogue here, how would you define family? And, you know, I'm not looking for a very exact, precise answer. You don't have to Google Webster's, but just when you think of family, what comes to your mind?
Food.
Yeah. Love. Yeah. Children. Yes. Stories. I like that. That was my wife. What else? How else would you define family?
Support.
Safety.
Heritage.
What was that? The people you love. Dependability. I like that. I hear in these words some truths that are hard in relationship to the reality that I think a lot of the things we just said often are positives, right? You know, when we say love, the people we love, the people who show up for us, the food and the stories that we share with people. But the reality is that sometimes the families in which we were born don't always offer those things to us, which is a hard way of saying this deep truth that families are something far more than just people with whom we share DNA or blood. Families are far more than just the community in which we are born into. They are, I would say, one of the most joyful expressions of our humanity here on earth. But also, because of that, it can be one of the most challenging places, one of the most challenging experiences of our humanity on this earth as well. It is a tragedy to lose your family because it's the people that we love, the places that we feel welcomed, the people who we can depend on, the people who know us and we know them. When we lose family, it doesn't just hurt. It's tragic. It can leave us completely exposed, can leave us completely confused, full of grief. I mean, I know this personally, and I know I'm not alone in this. I've lost my entire family of origin in the last few years. My mother and my father both succumbed. My mom to cancer, my father to complications from cancer in 2021, and I lost my only brother back in 2015. And I remember driving back, my father was the last one who passed, and it was in December, just around Christmas time of 2021, and I'm driving back from South Carolina where he was. And I'm in the car, and I turned on this song that we had played in my childhood. It was a John Conley song, and I'm sure I've shared this story before, so forgive me. But it's just so poignant. And I'm listening to this song and I'm immediately transported back to being a 10-year-old. And this experience of family that I had. I could just see it. I could feel it. And it was this amazing story. And it was meaningful to me because I didn't have a lot of those. I didn't have a lot of these places where my father, my mother, my brother, and I were all together and we were getting along. And it made me feel really good. And my first impulse was to call my brother and my mom and say, hey, remember? But there was nobody to call. There was nobody to call. To lose your family is a tragedy. And it's the tragedy that Ruth and Naomi are experiencing. Naomi speaks of this. She speaks of her deep bitterness. When they arrive at Bethlehem, they say, is this Naomi that's returned home? And she goes, no, call me Mara or Mary. Which means bitter, because I'm bitter. Look at me, I've lost my husband, I've lost my sons, I've been a stranger in a foreign land, I have nothing left. I'm bitter. She expresses her deep sense of isolation and tragedy, loneliness, brokenness, her bitterness. Can you relate? Have you ever been there? Have you ever felt those things? Ever felt like the Lord has looked down on you and dealt with you harshly, as Naomi says? Losing your family is tough. But what's even tougher is losing your family while they're still alive. This is often the truth for so many people. Forced migration, neglect, abuse, abandonment. We can see this throughout our communities and throughout our worlds, that people who looked to the community into which they were born, to mothers and fathers and brothers, sisters, aunts and uncles, to be that person that they could depend upon, to be the people to share food and stories with. And yet was not, their love was not returned in kind. There's a deep tragedy to that because it wasn't just that their people are gone, that we've loved these people to the end and then they've gone on to the next realm. But these people have chosen to leave. For whatever challenging reason it may be, they've stopped showing up for you. The LGBTQ plus community knows this abandonment stronger than maybe any. In 2018, the HRC report found that nearly half of all LGBTQ plus youth face rejection from their family of origin. I would not be shocked if that number is even higher. I think the reality is, for so many people, for so many youth who come out and realize their identity, who they are, and begin to claim that and name that amongst their families, they face ridicule. They face rejection. They face loneliness and the bitterness of losing a family, not because of death, but because of the choice not to love. There's a book called Family of Origin, Family of Choice, Stories of Queer Christians. And I was working through it this week. And there's a story of a person named Jake. Jake is a seminary student at the time of the book. And he was talking about his journey of coming out to his family. And he says, "My brother was the last one I came out to. And he was the hardest one because he was my closest friend. And he was the most theologically conservative person in my family. He tried to tell me all of these reasons why his view was earned and mine was not. Our relationship has never fully recovered." Jake goes on to say, "It was exhausting. I ended up in deep depression. I ended up suicidal." This is a reality that our family, the Gallup family, is knowing. Our child has come out as being transgendered, and as we've begun to share this with our family, we have faced similar rejection, similar ridicule. And it's really hard, especially paired with the loss that I've had of my family, to then lose this part of the family that's still here by choice has kind of added this insult to injury. And it's why I'm having a hard time keeping it together this morning talking about this. But as the lectionary provided us the story of Ruth and Naomi, and I read their story, it just hit me that this is a story of a found family. Yes, Ruth is Naomi's daughter-in-law, but in that day and age, they really had no more claim to one another. That's why Naomi is trying to ship her away. Like, go home. Go back to your people that you know. I have nothing for you. I'm empty. They were, at this point, just basically people that knew each other. They had no legal there was no law that said that they were still bound together. They were just, in essence, friends, people who knew each other. And yet Ruth, because she loved Naomi, not because she had to, not because there was any duty to do this, but out of her choice, out of her deep desire to love this person, said, "I will follow you. You may have nothing to offer me. You may have no power in this very deeply patriarchal world as a widow in a foreign land. And I, as a Moabite, who have no power either as a widow herself." They had very little to offer each other, but what they did have to offer each other was more than enough, which was love. This concept of found family, it's prevalent in a lot of media, but we're not really sure the exact place in which it was first named, but we see it very prominent within the queer community. As nearly half of these children face rejection and ridicule from their families, they have to look for family elsewhere. And they often find it in the people that know what they're experiencing, who have suffered alongside of them in their own way, just similar to Ruth and Naomi. These two had both known loss, had both known the struggle of being women, had known the struggle of not belonging. And they chose to be together. They chose to bind themselves to each other in love and continue to commit themselves to that relationship and showing up for one another. I think at its best, this is the hope of the church, that the church could be in its way a found family. I mean, we use the language of family today in our call to confession, brothers, sisters, and siblings. We pray to Father. We often talk about Jesus and some traditions as our older brother. We have this language of family. At our church gathering, the table, just this past week, we did this reflection on Acts 2. And I just want to read it really quick for you. This is the very inception and the beginning of the church. We read this and had some dialogue. We read that they, the first church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they would give their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, they spent much time together in the temple, and they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all people. And day by day, the Lord was adding to their number those who were being saved. As we read that amongst our group at the table, the thing that became very clear to us is that this was an image of a family. These people were in each other's home. They were together constantly. If anybody had need, they would give to them to meet that need. I mean, that's what a family should do. You know, if you're struggling, you call up your brother, your uncle, or whoever it may be, and said, "Hey, I'm going through a hard time. Can you help me?" And you guys know, a loving, committed relationship, a loving, committed family member will go, "Absolutely, whatever you need, I've got your back." They shared these things in common because they saw each other bound together by love. They had this deep commonality, not because they were born into the same family, but because they were born into love. It had been seen by Jesus and had been welcomed into the community, to the family of God, with full, open arms. And that love that they had found, that hospitality and welcome that they had found in the presence of God, they couldn't help but extend it to those around them. The church, from its inception, has always been intended to be a found family for those of us who have lost and been left. But, as we are all too sadly aware, the church is often the least safe place for folks in need of a family, particularly for our LGBTQ neighbors. Jake, in the book, goes on to say, because he didn't want to leave the church. "I didn't want to leave the church. I didn't want to leave God and Jesus. I came out to my pastor, who I was working for at the time, who said I couldn't work in ministry anymore because I was gay. He told me that eventually I was going to have to choose Jesus or being gay." I mean, can you imagine? Jake has found this rejection from his family for naming who he was, his experience of his self, his image of godness. And in that rejection, he felt hopeless. He felt suicidal and depressed. And so he goes to his church. He goes to his pastor and says, "This is who I am. Help me." And they said, "You can't belong." I've experienced this in my own ways. The church that I've been would have been my found family for nearly 2 decades has also rejected us for choosing to love my child, choosing to love my queer neighbors, and choosing to love myself. A place where I thought love was unconditional certainly had a lot of conditions. I chose to love because love had chosen me. I am walking the path of affirming queer people because I'm following Christ. But I found myself quite alone. I found myself quite depressed at times. I understand the devastation, the bitterness that Naomi felt at losing her family to death. And I understand the isolation that Ruth, a Moabite, feels for following God into the unknown. But in that place, I've also discovered an amazing truth. Family is not something that you're born into. It is something that you choose over and over again. Family is not something that you're born into, but it is something that you choose over and over again. And I think often, chosen family, found family, is far greater than what was lost. Jake shares about his brother-in-law. He says, "Our family's relationship with him was complicated. He was pretty outspoken with his anti-Christian views. And I was actually less worried about coming out to him as gay as I was worried about admitting that I was still a Christian. When I told him I was gay, he said he and his wife were 100% in my corner. And if things got dicey with the family or with the church, or if I didn't feel safe in my home in Idaho, that I could come and stay with them." Which is greatly reassuring. Even if I wasn't sure about, even if they weren't sure about me being a Christian. Later, I shared with him about a communion meditation that I did about our relationship. And he told me, "I wish that there were more people of faith like you. I wish that there were more who led with love like you. The world needs more Christians like you." And that was one of the most moving things, Jake says, anyone had ever told me. He is the first family member I have who understands both parts of me, gay and Christian, even though he is neither. It's interesting, right? Us religious folks think we know what God looks like and where he can be found. But God often surprises us. It shows up in the faces, the places that we least expect. Our friends who are atheists, our friends who may be gay, we see in them a love that persists, not because of duty, but because of choice. One of my closest friends, his name is Brian. My kids call him Grandpa Brian. Grandpa Brian is younger than me, but he wanted the honorific, and there's a lot of story behind it, but he's become a close friend, and Brian has also experienced some sense of isolation from his family of origin. And during this season of loss and this season of change for our family as we moved out of a church that didn't welcome us and our beliefs into this home, we went through some places of darkness and confusion and loneliness, and Brian was there with us. He was in our home weekly, if not more. If somebody had need, we would come give each other a ride. We would feed each other. We'd show up for each other as we needed because we chose to love each other. And so last Christmas, I felt pretty alone. Our family realized we didn't have really anywhere to go because we didn't really have a family that we felt like we belonged with. And so Grandpa Brian came over and I made a leg of lamb. Some roast potatoes, and some asparagus, and rolls. It was really good. We opened a really nice bottle of wine, and I was so grateful for what I had found. Despite the bitterness of my experience and the losses that we've had, I had found something in Grandpa Brian that was far sweeter than what I had lost. I found a friend who chose to be family, who had chosen over and over again to show up because he was committed to love. Ruth and Naomi, they kept choosing each other. These two women, they're great. This book is worth your reading. It doesn't take that long. Go through it. They had no societal power, but they cared for each other. And they devised a scheme, it's a pretty good scheme, to secure their future through a man named Boaz. It's a pretty great scheme. It works. And we see in at the end of the book this great summation. I lost my place. Ruth is between Judges and 1 Samuel. And I realized I didn't know that this week. Seminary grad over here. I was like, where is Ruth? Okay. Their plan works. So we come to the end of the book, chapter 4, verse 13. Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when they came together, the Lord made her conceive, and she bore a son. And then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without next of kin, without a redeemer. And may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom and became his nurse. And the woman of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." A son named Obed, and he became the father of Jesse and the father of David. From this found family of a widowed immigrant and a foreigner of another faith is born the King of the Jews. But not just David. We see Ruth named in the very genealogy of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus, our Lord, is the child of a found family. And that is our lineage as a church. Our adopted brother Christ is born of found family and welcomes us into found family. And that is now what I have discovered here. Through my relationships with Robert and Marie and Shay and all the other various wonderful people I've met through the Queer Collective and here at Westover Hills, I have found something beautiful. I have found a family. Because found families always make more room at the table. They make more room for the weary, for newcomers in need of friends, in need of family. Because family isn't something that you're necessarily born into. But it's something you choose. And something that chooses you over and over again. And this is the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.
Please remain standing and join with me in our affirmation of faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others, Spirit. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Let us return to God the offerings of our life and the gifts of the earth. Amen. Let us pray. God of Ruth and Naomi, God of hope and bitterness, God of harvest and hunger, God of life and death, we offer our prayers of blessing upon the feet and life of the women and all of our neighbors living in poverty or under the threat of war and displacement, on our queer neighbors and all those who are taking risks to care for the vulnerable, to feed their families and love their communities. You, Lord, are born in our resistance to injustice and shoulder with women and queer folk all around the world the burden of poverty and rejection. Invite us into solidarity with them and with you as you lead us to life and justice. Father, we bring to you the people named in our list, our prayer list, but especially this day, those facing the threat of war and the reality of destruction and loss in the Middle East. Father, we pray for justice and we pray for peace. God, give us hearts to not turn away, but to continue to stay kind to ourselves and to our neighbors. And may we sow shalom here in our own communities and amongst the people with which we find ourselves beside. May we love our neighbors as we love ourselves, emulating and loving from the love that you've given us over and over again. Father, thank you that you have included us in your family. Gracious God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us now pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you so much. It was an honor to worship with you and to witness the love of God in your midst. So I offer to you this blessing, and I receive it myself. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, and be gracious to you, and give you peace. Shalom.